It is 6:30. It's Monday morning with the Musers. We're on Radio Row in Houston for Super Bowl 51. We're here all week, the rest of the ticket team as well. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll talk about the Pro Bowl. We had 1P1 remind us that this is the six-year anniversary of Norm saying, in the Pro Bowl.
In the Pro Bowl yesterday.
You just stole my first observation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dang it!
No, you didn't.
There's now I'm going to have to ask Marcus Allen about...
No, you're not going to have to ask him about
Nicole.
So we'll talk about the Pro Bowl coming up here in 25 minutes, but stay tuned in anyway, please. Because I think when Norm uttered these famous words...
In the Pro Bowl yesterday...
All of the Metroplex tuned out at that moment.
Yeah, we're really talking about Dak and Zeke.
So we're begging you to stay tuned.
Yeah.
Coming up here in 25 minutes. But right now, what should be a fascinating and exciting observation deck with Gordo, it's brought to us by our dear sponsors. Would you like me to read those dear sponsors?
Sure.
Man's Best Friend, A Number One Air, TexasLending.com, and MatterAuto.com.
Okay, Marcus Allen is heading our way. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it. I'm already telling you, I can't handle it.
Would you stop it and just do an interview?
Dude, Marcus Allen was like the guy that played a central figure in the OJ case.
Maybe.
Central figure?
Yes. He was the main problem between OJ and Nicole. Because Nicole had an affair with Mark.
Shh. Here he comes.
He's within 100 yards. Stop.
I can't help it. I have to.
He can cover 100 yards in no time.
Here he is. He's coming up here. Look at him. Yeah, oh, my gosh. Look at the power.
Against the Redskins.
Look at the power he has.
You really can't handle it.
He's the one.
He's the one.
What does that mean?
All right. Here he comes. I'm going to shake his hand, that hand that is touched.
What are the odds that Killer has his microphone turned up? What are the odds?
Hey, Marcus, how you doing?
I'd say 1 in 10.
Have a seat here.
Marcus, how are you?
There he is.
There he is. Shake his hand, George. Feel the power.
Hey, Marcus.
Feel the power.
How are you?
All right, we are on the air with Marcus Allen right now, and he joins us for a very special reason. Marcus, you want to tell us a little bit about K Jewelers and what you're doing here? Oh, look at this ring.
Notice that Super Bowl ring?
Man. Look at that thing. Now,
well,
K Jewelers.
Hall of Fame ring.
Yes, K Jewelers with that incredible design, our Hall of Fame rings. They're the best and number one jewelry store in America, guys.
And they're the official jeweler of the Hall of Fame, correct?
Yes, they are. And they're celebrating their 100th year. It's pretty awesome. And their partnership with St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, guys. And they come up with an incredible way to raise money for their organization by... singing a hashtag, every kiss begins with K.
Did you know that Marcus can sing?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there for a while, it was like touch and go whether he or Michael Jackson was going to be the bigger singer in the world. But Marcus could play football,
yeah,
too.
I really wanted to dedicate myself to the sport. So and so I gave that to Michael. So, but it's a great campaign, guys. And we encourage everybody to join in. It's a great way to help raise money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Go on to K Jewelers on Facebook and Twitter and use the hashtag Sing for St. Jude Donation. And you sing the song, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, every kiss begins with K.
Right.
Send a video in. And for every video posted, it'll be $100. Up to $50,000 will be donated.
So that's pretty cool.
It's a great campaign, yeah. And I just want to say this. I want everybody to listen out there. And if you can really sing, I have right of first refusal. I may sign you. We can start a record label.
All right.
We can do a lot of things, guys. So.
All right. Now, can this ring be removed? Like, can I
pull
that
thing
out
of there?
No, you can't.
Let me take it. That's got an alarm system and everything. You can't touch that. Okay, Jewelers, man, they're on it, man. They don't, you know.
It won't explode if I remove it, will it?
Oh, dude, I can't tell you, man. You got to take your chances.
Oh, gosh, he scared me.
That's a big ring. Now, how often do you wear that Hall of Fame ring?
They're beautiful and you know, to me it's like wearing a jersey, so I try not to to walk around with my jersey on.
Is this actually your ring?
I have.
That's his ring.
Yeah, of course, dude.
My
come
gosh,
on.
Look at that.
So how many rings do you have like that? You have a Super Bowl ring, a Hall of Fame.
I have
ring?
A Rose Bowl ring. Uh-huh. I have a National Championship ring. I have a College Football Hall of Fame ring. I have a Super Bowl ring, and I have that ring right there.
That's so many more rings than I have.
Me, I put them in a great place, and they'll be They're no longer mine. They're my sons.
You've already bequeathed them?
Yes, they're my sons.
And you still have this distinction, right? Only Heisman Trophy winner, NCAA champion, Super Bowl, and named Super Bowl MVP and NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP. Did you know that about yourself?
Yes, but I'm not supposed to know that, but yes.
You have to pretend like you're surprised by the stats.
Well, that's shocking. Oh, man, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Wow, I did that? Yeah, you did that. And you were awesome. And does it seem like a million years ago when you were playing in the Super Bowl?
Yes, it does. I mean, it really does. But, you know, one of the great things is you mentioned being a Super Bowl MVP. You're always a part of the fabric of the game. You're forever, obviously, identified with this incredible game that everybody is going to be sitting at the edge of their seats and watching. Now, hey, guys, we got plenty of time, but I just want, you guys are going to sing this with me.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
We'll do it. They've got good voices.
Okay. You want to, Killer, Killer.
All right. Now,
sorry for bringing that up.
We're going to get it on video.
Yeah, you guys, now, listen.
You going to videotape us?
You guys going to be my, what do we call the?
Marcus and the Beatles.
Marcus and the Ding Dongs. How about that?
Marcus and the Ding Dongs.
Kimberly, could you count us down, please, over there?
Okay.
And you guys pay attention over here. Come on.
Okay. Who's
count us down?
I'll sing bass.
All right. I'll sing tenor.
I'll sing alto sax.
Marcus, you join right in
what?
There. Okay.
No, I'm singing with you guys.
Yeah,
he's singing with us.
He's singing lead.
All right. Do we have,
all right,
ready? Do we have dance steps, too? Or what
oh, no, 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 no. This okay. is just, right. Yeah.
Count
all right,
down.
You ready?
Two.
Every kiss begins with K.
Not bad, guys. Okay. I'm impressed.
Thank you very much.
All right. You guys, come on.
$100. Boom.
We got a
charity.
Competition with the next. Yeah, you guys, we'll start a competition.
I have a question about your old franchise, the Raiders. Are they going to end up in L.A. or Las Vegas, or are they going to stay in Oakland? What do you think?
Why don't you buy them?
The lean is Las Vegas, guys. I mean, I sort of hate to say it.
That sounds weird, doesn't it?
But it seems, well, I got to tell you something. You know, I've sort of reflected on this, and this is not something that is, you know, this has not been an effort the last few years. You guys remember, they wanted a new stadium. There was a reason they moved to Los Angeles in the first place. So they've been at this process for a long time, and it's a shame that that they may leave. You know, guys, I'm shocked about the Chargers, frankly. You know, guys, I don't know if you guys knew this, but my first football game was at Balboa Stadium.
Wow.
Downtown. And that was before Diego Stadium.
Yeah.
Jack Murphy and Qualcomm was built. And my dad actually worked on the stadium.
Oh, wow.
In San Diego.
What kind of work did he do?
Construction worker, mm-hmm. Yeah. And my I played my first football game. I was 10 years old. A halftime of a Charger game.
Wow. So that affected you.
Yeah, I mean,
the Chargers started in the second half.
I grew up, guys. You know, I was my favorite player was Lance Allworth.
Wow.
One of my favorite players, yeah. Gary Garrison and John Hadle were playing quarterback, and they had Paul Lowe. My dad knew Paul Lowe, and so we took.
And how's that going
to
work in L.A.? Because there's really no connection. I mean, there was a year.
The one saving
there.
Grace is it's close, I think. You know, so a lot of those fans can
drive an hour.
Yeah. Well, you hope an hour and a half drive shouldn't take that long to come up on Sunday and watch the game. But it's just weird. It's really.
But the Raiders
to me,
leaving.
It's like, I mean, listen, I like the Padres, and I've always been a Padre fan, grew up with Nate Colbert and Cito Gaston and Bobby Jones and all those guys playing and stuff. But I just thought the Chargers were a little more important than
than the Padres.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, football,
stuff,
sure.
So, yeah.
So in high school, you were a quarterback.
Yes.
And then if I have the story straight, you were recruited to USC as a defensive back, and you end up winning the Heisman as a running back.
Yeah, guys, this is what happened, right? I love my first position playing football, period, was cornerback. I liked Lim Barney, right? Mm-hmm. And but when I went to high school, I was playing defensive back, and the coach wanted me to play quarterback. And I didn't want to play quarterback.
Why not?
I did because I like hitting people. But I went under center like I was instructed to, and I fumbled the ball 8 times in a row, on purpose. And he knew this, and he kicked me off the team. Now, guys, I was the best player in San Diego at the time, and I knew my father was going to be irate. But he surprised me when I got home and told him. He says, well, that's between you two. So I had to go back and apologize, and I got reinstated. And the fact that I played quarterback and I ran the ball, I think was the only reason that when I got the SC as a defensive back, all the running backs got hurt behind Charles. And so they needed somebody, and they asked me to come over. And I think that's only as a result of, my coach saying, I need you a quarterback, and then playing, quarterback and running the ball. I did throw the ball as well. I just wasn't a running, By the way, guys, I have 6 touchdowns in the National Football League. I have a 106 passer rating, I think it is. Something like that. Maybe.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
I think so. If I looked at the stats correctly, my eyes aren't so good anymore. But
like he doesn't know exactly what it is.
Yeah, it was 12 for 27. And it was a lot of drops, too, man. Really made me mad. So.
Yeah, you should have been better than that. They just
caught
it.
Yeah, it's like, if those stats are correct. Yeah.
I still think your run against the Redskins is the greatest Super Bowl run of all time. It's no longer the longest. I think that's been topped once or twice. But
can I tell you what happened?
Greatest run ever.
I was in Detroit, and they were honoring the MVPs of that game, right? And so we were all there, and I remember walking over with one of the NFL officials down in the stadium where just after halftime, and we're walking, and I realized there was a kickoff, and there were no dramatic sounds or anything like that, so. I knew that it was either a short return or was kicked in the end zone or something like that. But again, there was no monitors and I couldn't see. And then all of a sudden I heard a loud roar. And I was walking with Tracy Perlman, and I said, Tracy, boy, I hope that was the screen pass. And then I took about 20 steps further, and it said Willie Parker just broken Marcus Allen's record. Oh my God, by 1 yard? God, and I didn't even see the play until much later, and I said, God, that was just an ordinary straight line run. Yeah. I mean, the guy didn't do anything.
He didn't reverse field like you did.
I mean, come on, guys. I enjoyed it. It was like for 21 years it stood.
Yeah, I know.
I enjoyed it.
I bet you that got you a lot of free drinks at bars and things like that.
I don't drink, so, but, Ooh,
well, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up there, Gordon.
When did you quit drinking? Did you ever drink?
No, I went at 8 drinks my whole life.
Wow. 8?
Yes.
And even knows that stat by heart.
I think I did that last night.
Yeah.
Jeez, so why were you against drinking?
I always
drinking?
Thought that was the gateway to getting into trouble.
Yeah,
and to trying other things.
That's very smart.
Like that. So
I think you're right about that.
I always thought that. Yeah.
I think
in college,
I drank all of
easy
your drinks
thing to do.
That were allotted for you in life.
Well, let me tell you what, and it's clear you recovered.
Yeah, you can see I look like in the
you've
shape.
You've done well with your career. I mean, you've taken advantage of the second chance. It's great.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Relatively well. All right, I have to ask you one thing before we I think you have to go somewhere. Do you have to go somewhere? Or are you okay?
Hey, guys, we're good on time, right? Because, the word
cancellation?
I didn't hear the word. Shawarma.
So I went to junior high with a guy who was rumored to be your nephew or cousin or something, a guy named Corey Allen. You ever heard of a Corey?
No.
See, I knew that guy was a fraud.
No, I mean, listen.
I knew he was a fraud. And
I mean, listen,
like,
today you can't say that because sometimes, you go to
you have a big family.
What is it?
You may
family
not
tree,
know.
Whatever it is.
Family reunion.
Yeah.
It's always vague when you say cousin. Reunion. It's tough to track.
When you go to a family reunion. Oh, you go to the family tree online, you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, we get a lot of that. And because my dad was actually the only Allen, and talking to my father, I mean, his father died when he was young.
Way to go, George.
And so I don't know if that was the, I didn't hear very many Allens after that, you know what I mean? And my father was the oldest of 11 kids.
Uh-huh.
And there were Clarks and McKnights.
But he was the only Allen?
Yes.
Okay.
So
this guy
is strange. Now, this guy's this is why I said, you know, you don't know, but I really don't know any other Allens. But, guys, I roomed with a guy my rookie season, right? Years later, I mean, this guy had, you know, has always had my father. I was always kept in touch with the players and stuff, and they talk and been friends and stuff. And years later, they had a conversation, and my dad said to him, I think we're related. And this player did some research. My dad did a little more research. And it comes back that Hattie Branch is the person. So Cliff Branch is my cousin. I room with Cliff Branch.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know he was my cousin.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yes.
What a crazy story.
I didn't know he was my cousin. I ruined him my rookie season. So.
Well, I thought that guy was lying who I was telling you about, Corey. And so I started claiming that I was also your cousin.
Oh, well, that's a lie.
Got a lot of women.
That's a lie.
Got a lot of women.
Yeah. All right, Marcus.
Guys, thank you so much.
By.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it, pleasure.
Have a great Super
thank
Bowl
you,
week.
All right, guys.
That's the great Marcus Allen.
You guys didn't say who's going to win. Who's going to win, guys, huh?
Patriots.
Patriots.
Huh? Yeah.
You guys think so?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
What do you think? You're the Hall of Famer.
Well, I just know it's important to the Falcons.
Yeah, guys.
This is like permanent relevance.
He's rooting for the Falcons.
No, okay. No.
Yeah, you are.
No. I'm just going to be sitting down watching.
Uh-huh. Right.
And don't forget your ring.
Yeah, don't forget
Oh, yeah,
the
don't
ring.
Forget that. That's a complimentary from Kay and the Musers.
Thank you, Marcus.
All right, we'll see you. That's the great Marcus Allen with us here on the Ticket, Radio Row in downtown Houston. All right.
You want to know something crazy? Uh-huh. I was looking at his career stats.
Uh-huh.
He had his signature season in 85, 1,700 yards. That was his third 1,000-yard season. Never had one after that. Would you have guessed he had only 3,000-yard seasons?
I would have said more than that.
I would have said like 8.
He shared with Bo for 1 or 2 years, and then
86 is when Bo came in, right?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah, because he was 85 Heisman, right? Yeah, so, yeah, I would have guessed more than that.
Yeah. But he had longevity. Maybe after that 1 year in 85 where he carried it 380 times, they cut him way back, and part of that was sharing with Bo.
Yeah.
But that allowed him to play for 15 years and rack
up 12,000
yards.
Which got him over 12,000, yeah. That's an automatic, plus the Super Bowl moment, too.
God, he was great.
I loved Marcus.
There was
Allen.
Never another runner like him. That style, that tall, gliding.
No, yeah. I always thought he was too high.
Yeah.
But he was so hard to
shoulder,
catch.
Though.
He still looks pretty good. I don't think he.
But what about slope shoulder?
He's always had that. That made him
That's
fast.
That's weird.
Really it made him fast.
I guess it made him more aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And plus the whole Nicole thing.
Thanks for staying away from that.
He didn't. Just... He made one mention.
What mention was it?
When we were talking to Killer and you said, sorry to bring that up.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he always has to sneak one in.
What did you say?
And then I was nervous the rest of the time that he was going to keep pushing the envelope.
I also referenced that run was the run of his life, which is a reference to the
Okay.
movie. You're sick.
What? He was involved in something of such power.
All right, 6:48 on the Ticket.
Muse in the News with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Thank you so much, Miller Man, and welcome to Houston, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you guys need someone to kind of lead you around, show you the town,
I won't
just
call
let me
you.
Know. Just let me know. Oh, there's a great couple bars around where we're staying.
Really?
Yeah. You guys ought to check out the Okra Charity Bar. It's great. It's there's also the Pastry War.
You're reading off an email
news
somebody
bar.
Sent you.
And some other places that I know of.
Okay.
And, of course, today is the 6th anniversary of Norm's in the Pro Bowl yesterday.
Right.
So we're honoring him
in
all
the
day today.
Pro Bowl yesterday.
Do you remember why Norm had to say that?
They had some sort of technical difficulty, right?
On the first day that we were introduced to our new engineer at the Super Bowl in Dallas.
Was that what it was?
Yes. After your big standoff with him that morning of what sort of microphones we'd be using for
okay,
the week.
Okay, and you probably were kicking me in the nuts that morning because it's like, gosh, Gordon's being so demanding. Can't you be nice to so-and-so? And that guy turned out to be the ticket's nightmare for 5 years
running. I knew he was a
nightmare
that morning. Yes, I knew that too. But that's why, because we couldn't hear calls, or the caller couldn't hear Norm because he didn't have it hooked up right. That's why I had to talk about the Pro Bowl.
Such
yesterday.
A frustrating conflict with that guy. All I asked for was a headset. No, we got these microphones. They're better. Okay, I don't care whether they're better. Can I have a headset? No, what you want is the microphone. No, I'm telling you right now. What I want is the headset.
It was quite the standoff.
Do you have them? Yeah, they're right here in this chest. Well, can I get it? No, we're going to use microphones. Jeez. All right. So I actually unplugged after the show on Friday. Didn't look at news or anything like that. And then last night I finally, start prepping for the show and trying to get up to date. And apparently the whole world went crazy because of what Trump did with the immigration ban.
It's a pretty crazy weekend.
I got to tell you, week one of the Trump administration has been wild ass.
Yep.
Wild ass.
That's what you wanted, though, right? You thought it was going to be fun.
No, this is the thing. This is my take on it. First of all, I thought that he wasn't going to do all this. I thought that I incorrectly predicted that he would pivot and he wouldn't be as crazy as this and he would just kind of let other people run, the White House while he went around giving speeches and enjoying kind of the public part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think he would do all this kind of stuff. So he proved me wrong. He has proven to be a man of action.
Yeah, which I guess the people who voted for him think it's great.
Right. Jeb Bush nailed it during the campaigning when he was during a GOP debate when he said, Trump is the chaos candidate, and if elected, he will be a chaos president.
Mm-hmm.
Jeb Bush was right on that. And it's like I told you here on the ticket, Giorgio, I think the people that support Trump love the chaos.
Yeah,
they
think it's necessary.
They think it's necessary. And I would even go so far as to a lot of conservatives that I know of, I almost think that they would love to see the chaos burn America down as long as it annoyed liberals while it was burning.
Please,
because that's goal number one, annoy liberals.
And the media.
And the media, right. And boy, has Trump done that, annoyed liberals and the media.
Yeah.
And I think that as long as you accomplish those two things by any means necessary, you are golden in a lot of people's books.
So what do you guys think of the ban?
Okay, so the ban, by the way, if we let me get the list of countries here. So he says that Muslims are banned from 7 countries. All right, and the countries are
It's not just Muslims.
It's not Muslim. It's just citizens of these countries.
Citizens, all right. Even Christians, although yes. I thought he had a workaround on Christians.
No, because some of them have been denied as well.
See, I think the headline is Muslims are banned, just like you issued, but I don't think that's what this actually is.
Because I had this thing about
it's people from Iran, Iraq, Syria,
Somalia,
Libya,
Sudan,
Yemen, and Somalia.
And the Department of Homeland Security initially said that it would bar even green card holders from those 7 countries.
Yeah, many of them have had trouble getting on flights.
And we had this episode out at DFW Airport in which people were detained, and Judge Clay Jenkins and Mayor Mike Rawlins went out there to hand out flowers to people apologizing after they were detained for so long.
Yeah, it didn't seem like they went maybe
It wasn't well thought out. It
wasn't well thought out. And from what I could gather this weekend, and so much of this is on what do we do with the refugees, and from what I understand, the toughest way to get into this country is to enter as a refugee. It is already a vetting process that takes sometimes years, sometimes as much as 15 years. I think the average is close to 2 years. So those people are scrutinized thoroughly, and some of them, even after being scrutinized, were not let in, and that seems a little weird. If you want to just go to this country, just visit here, and if you have the means to get here, and just stay.
Just don't come as a refugee.
Just don't come as a refugee.
Right.
That seems like the workaround.
The order bans entry to refugees from anywhere in the world for 120 days, and it bans refugees from Syria indefinitely.
This is an incredibly complex issue, and I think on the surface,
no, it isn't.
On the surface, you saw all the protests over the weekend, and the initial reaction is this goes against everything that our country has stood for 250 years. And I understand that, and that makes sense to me. We're fundamentally changing the philosophy and beliefs of our country. But I think what I'm having trouble with is I get the idea. I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to keep terrorists out of the country, and for the most part, not 100% of them, but for the most part, terrorists come from these countries. I get that. But the argument against it is he's also keeping a lot of people who are good, nice, solid people out of this country, people who are trying to get out of these countries, which are hell holes. You know, there's a reason you've got refugees fleeing countries like Syria. Nobody wants to live there because it's hell, because their homes are being blown up every day, or they've got ISIS living next door, or they're run by corrupt dictators, whatever the reason. But what I'm having the biggest problem with is things have changed since the Founding Fathers and since we were a country settled by immigrants. All apologies to the Native Americans who get left out of the mix here a lot.
Indeed.
Should it always be everybody in the world's right to come to the United States?
No. No, and I'm with you on that, that liberal argument of that, wait a second, we were founded by immigrants. Okay. We don't need to be founded anymore, and mm-hmm. it's now, you know, this many hundreds of years later, things can change. And some of the criticisms that I've heard from the left on this, which is like, well, these countries are not even the ones. Why aren't you focusing on these other countries? So you mean to tell me that if Trump had added 7 more countries to this list, then you would be happy? Your complaint about him is that he didn't include enough countries? No, that's not your liberal argument. You're just trying to make an argument against him. And it doesn't hold up as far as being logically consistent. You should be against him banning anyone from anywhere, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying I agree with his policy or this ban. I do understand where it's coming from, and I do understand that we live in a different world from the one we even lived in 25 years ago, and that is we have a lot more people out there who want to come here, blend in, and then blow us up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Yep.
And I don't know that this is the way to stop it. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe his ban keeps 50 million good people out, but it keeps one terrorist out as well that was going to come here and kill 10,000 of us. I don't know.
Right.
But I do know that it's a different world today, and the argument made that this country was founded by immigrants and that we've always let anybody in. It's any human's right to come to this country. We're a different country now. We have a different set of problems, and there are a different set of people out there that want to do really bad things to us. I think it's at least worth revisiting our basic country philosophy of bring us anybody.
Right.
Well, and what's the cutoff? You know, is it 100,000 a year? Is it 200,000 a year? Is it 50,000 a year? 1,000 a year? I mean,
I don't know.
You got to come up with that number. And the only thing that I really didn't understand how this worked. The only thing I really learned this weekend is, you know, here, refugees. These refugees that are coming here, it just makes it sound like they just go right from a holding area and they put them on a plane and they send them over here. They have to go through those people are already going through a process.
Extreme vetting.
Now, do we cut down that number? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. I have no idea.
Well, I'm kind of with you, Craig, that the arguments that I've heard against this haven't quite convinced me. I know I sense there's something wrong with his policy.
Right.
I know there's something wrong with it. I just can't quite identify what it is that, to me, is the really solid argument. The arguments that, well, you're not even targeting the countries that you should be targeting. That doesn't hold up because you're complaining about the countries that he did put on the list, too. It's like, the Statue of Liberty, man, what it says on the bottom of the Statue of Liberty. Okay, so that's the thing that makes law? The Statue of Liberty's feet?
Right.
The pedestal? So what is the argument? Hey, you what know, is the argument that we just shouldn't do anything because nothing is perfect, so don't do anything?
On which countries made the list, there was one that did jump out at me. Saudi Arabia skates all the time.
Right. Yeah.
And I know why. I know our relationship with that country. But weren't all of the 9/11 terrorists from Saudi Arabia or all but one?
Yes.
They skate all the time.
Right.
Well, just
and even with Trump, they even skated with him.
But just because Saudi Arabia skated, should these other countries also skate? Is that the idea?
No, I'm not making that argument. I'm just saying that that's what jumped out at me was that the Saudis again skate.
Right. Now, he didn't seem to have a whole plan. There were people in the air flying to get here, and this
right.
order takes effect, I guess, immediately, and so they were immediately detained.
And didn't coordinate with a lot of agencies about it.
No.
The airlines didn't know. I mean, it was just
But he did
chaos.
Issue an executive order, right? He didn't just tweet it.
Right.
No, he did. He signed an executive
and,
order.
And it was part of his campaign promise, and he did it.
Like in the first week, he's followed through, whether you agree with the promises or not, in the first week, he's pretty much acted on all of them.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
Kind of reminds me of a corporate takeover a little bit.
It's just a little...
There's this new company policy and everyone kind of freaks out the first
week. It's a little, little scary, isn't it?
Oh, not a Cumulus takeover, mind you.
Do you think he thinks things all the way through?
No.
You know what's funny is they do this thing. I read a piece about how if you want to know, he just watches TV all the time. He doesn't really like to read even. He watches TV, and then if you want to know what he was just watching, it's the thing he just tweeted about. Because he'll watch a segment, and then he'll fire off a tweet about, you know, hey, we got to do something about the carnage in Chicago. Well, he just watched a segment on carnage in Chicago.
Boy, I got to say, the backlash, I can't recall anything a president has done that got that kind of backlash in a matter of a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
Can you all, any kind of policy change or... In recent history.
Right.
No.
So is it only liberals and moderates that are protesting this? There's no Trump supporters who are saying that he's gone too far on this. I know Republicans have done it. There's some in the Republican Party that thinks he's acting a little bit capriciously and rash.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that breaks down.
In other news, we got Megyn Kelly. You know, she may get the NBC morning show. They're going to shake up the Today Show and get rid of the last hour, I guess, with... Oh, wait, it's Marcus Allen again.
Oh, man, I thought it was going to be...
I know.
I thought he heard something.
He came and grabbed my neck. Just think of the neck that he's touched.
All right.
And the beautiful Nicole.
Shh.
What?
He's in your shot.
I know.
So what about Megyn Kelly?
Megyn Kelly. So I guess she would push out the fourth hour of Today, which is hosted by Kathy Lee and Hoda.
It is.
And then that would move to 9 a.m., and then the 9 a.m. slot, which is currently done by Tamron Hall and Al Roker, would be a thing of the past. So okay. Megyn Kelly may go to mornings, actually. And then that would put her face-to-face against Kelly Ripon.
Ripa.
Oh, Ripa. Barbara Hale has passed away at the age of 94.
Barbara Hale from a famous TV show.
Mm-hmm. Can you identify that TV show?
Wait a minute. Sitcom or drama?
Drama.
Barbara Hale. Seinfeld?
So weak.
94, so...
That's a big TV show.
Boy, I don't know.
Perry Mason's secretary, Della Street.
Never would have gotten that.
She got sick and passed away at her home in L.A. at the age of 94.
Mm. Good long life.
Now, Perry Mason was gay, right?
How dare you?
What?
Yeah, he was. Ironside, Raymond Burr.
Yeah.
Oh, in real life
Ironside
he was?
And Perry Mason. Yeah, he had a real
life. I know
life...
on the show he wasn't.
Is that how he got in the wheelchair?
He had a real life male lover.
It's weird.
It's
just kind of weird. He had a real life male lover. Boy, Marcus could have slit my throat when he came up.
Hey,
stop it.
Hey.
Vanessa Redgrave is 80. Country singer Norma Jean is 79. Goodbye to her.
Oh, yeah.
Musician Phil Collins is 66.
I liked him back in the day.
He's a big fan of the Alamo.
Yeah, he is.
Charles S. Dutton from Rock is 66. I thought he got sick and passed away.
Guess
guy who played Rock.
And happy birthday.
Christian Bale turns 43. and turning 87 today, one of my favorite actors of all time. He played Lex Luthor in the first Batman movie.
Oh.
He had many, many great roles. The great Gene Hackman.
Oh, Gene Hackman.
Yes.
He is 87.
87?
Wow. Can you believe that? He's pushing 90?
No.
That's old.
Was his best role Royal Tenenbaum?
God, he was so great
was
in that.
Great in that.
He's been great in just about everything he's been in.
Hoosiers, yeah. Everything.
Hoosiers was awesome.
And he retired from acting. When he retired, he flat out retired.
Good for him.
That was it. You're up to date.
All right, that's Muse, 732 on the ticket. Here from Radio Row, it's time for Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Baker Brothers Plumbing and Air and by Load Bearing Wall Pros. And Gordo is out and about with our brand new wireless microphone technology. This is really exciting. Come in, Gordo.
Yeah, this is huge, Craig. We have an expensive piece of equipment that actually, after being at the ticket for 12 years, the Catman actually did something and got us an expensive piece of equipment.
Yes.
Thank you, Catman.
Because our old wireless was the worst.
It was terrible.
Terrible.
But this thing sounds great.
Yes.
The reviews are in, Cat. Thumbs up.
And you know what? It has a 200-mile range.
Man. I don't know about that. Okay, so I got to watch this because isn't that Nasty Nestor right over there?
Yeah, don't get anywhere.
So I can't get near him.
Yeah. 50 yards of him.
But here's a...
You can go all the way to the other end of this room, I bet. Can't he, killer? Yes, he can, killer says. Yes, he can.
Looks like she's having problems logging on here. Ooh. Hi, how you doing? Gordon of the Ticket in Dallas. Just wanted to say hi from your sister station. Oh, yeah, she's busy and she's waving at me. It's 710 ESPN Seattle.
You got it?
Okay.
She didn't want to have anything to do with me there.
Wow. She's busy.
Man.
So tense.
Well,
I'll talk to these guys here. KRBE. Hey, are you guys a Cumulus station?
Yes.
Oh, see, this is your friends from Houston, I believe, right?
Yes. Where are you from?
The Ticket in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, I've met them before.
Yeah, you ever heard of The Ticket in Dallas? You ever listened?
Sometimes.
Not that great, is it?
When I'm in Dallas, I do.
Yeah, it sucks. Is that what you said?
No, I didn't say that.
He said he's been to Dallas. That's not that great a claim.
So how much time have you spent in Dallas?
He's in Houston.
Honestly, about 2 days, and it was probably the worst thing in my life.
Oh, no.
What happened? Diarrhea?
Here it comes.
Everyone was douchebags. They were all mean and just looked at me like, hey, you don't belong here.
They were mean.
Really? So they were. What did they do to you other than just look at you weird?
Well, I was there for a Rockets game. It was Rockets versus Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was wearing my Rockets shirt, and just a lot of people were, you know, telling me remarks, calling me a fat ass. Stuff like that.
That's awful. Do you,
tell them we apologize.
You don't consider yourself a fat ass, obviously.
A little bit.
Oh, no. Well, see, now you're self-hating.
You know, it works both ways.
Yeah? So you don't mind calling yourself a fat ass. It's just when others point out something you believe.
It's just anyone from Dallas is pretty much not on my good side.
Mm-hmm. What about the Kennedy assassination site? Did you go there?
No, I didn't. I went to American Airlines Center. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where he was shot.
That's where our station
was?
Is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't.
No, that's where Kennedy was taking a left and going into Victory Plaza.
Oh, well, yeah. That's where I went and left.
Yeah. What about women? Did you find the women in Dallas attractive?
Honestly, I think they're better looking than here for the most part.
Well, yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the women in Houston have swamp crotch, right?
What is that?
You know.
Like smelly?
Oh, now come on. Now, I think that's a little vulgar.
I mean, hey, I'm not lying when I say it's smelly.
Okay. Well,
what does that mean?
I don't know. I guess a first-hand report? Literally?
Literally.
Yeah. Do you date women from Houston?
Usually. I'm a Hispanic man, but I only date white women.
No. Oh. Gosh.
Boy, you just...
You don't date Hispanic women?
No, they're too fertile.
They're too...
Hispanic women are too fertile.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just get snipped, and then you can...
Well, I want to have one kid, not seven.
Okay. What do you think about Trump's immigration ban?
Honestly, I really don't have anything to say. It's just... I usually stay out of politics, but...
What about the wall? Aren't you happy that Trump's building a wall between you and a lot of Hispanic women?
No, I mean, honestly, either way, they're going to find a way to get over here. A wall's not going to stop them.
Yeah, they're fertile.
Yeah. They'll just climb that wall with their ovaries.
Or under.
Okay. I don't think, is that like a known thing that Hispanic women like to tunnel?
No, I mean, just in general, like people, you know, they sometimes...
In general, Hispanics like to tunnel.
Yeah, sometimes they'll make a tunnel and come over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, you do the morning show?
Yeah, sometimes I help out with the morning show.
Gosh, this is the most low energy.
Well, that's just me. My name is Mumbles.
That's what you go by.
Yeah, so that's
me.
Are
you like a clown or something? Do you do children's parties, Mumbles the clown, or
no,
just Mumbles?
No, I'm just a big Hispanic guy. But okay. this is like as excited as I get. Uh-huh.
Well, what is like the hottest white woman you've seen around here?
Honestly, I haven't seen any yet.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll go talk to this girl that's real near you over here who's not attractive. Thank you, Mumbles. Thank you.
Man, all Mumbles right. had some hot sports opinions.
Yeah, he did.
We're going to have to talk to Mumbles more often.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Now we'll talk to our Seattle friends.
You think there's any way?
Hi. Now, did you get hooked up? Did you get online?
Not yet, but thank you for your concern.
I appreciate that. I'm Gordon from The Ticket in Dallas.
Know exactly you ever, who you are.
How do you know who we are?
Because you're famous.
Famous? Mm-hmm. For what? My criminal record?
I don't want your listeners to know about that.
Yeah, so what do you have like an Instagram handle or a Twitter handle or something?
No, I stay as far off social media as possible.
That's a good idea. Good idea. How long have you worked for the station in Seattle?
Forever, since its inception.
Really? So how long has that been?
Well, I've been driving it into the ground for 8 years.
Oh, well, it's still on the air, and that's good.
Yeah,
we
try.
Good. So we see you every Super Bowl, right?
No, not every Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. All right.
For every other?
Do you guys have any big-time guests coming on this morning?
The one and only John Clayton will be here.
Who's that?
He's a John Clayton.
Football reporter for ESPN.
Football reporter for ESPN, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He'll be here.
Have you seen Chris Visser?
I have.
Yeah. Yeah, we're avoiding him, too. He's right there. All right, thank you for telling me.
Tell her you can't believe how beautiful she is.
I can't believe how beautiful you are.
No. Okay. It doesn't translate to radio.
Well, I know, but you look wonderful.
Tell her you love her.
I love you.
Gosh.
She did not.
Is this your favorite
respond.
Part of Super Bowl week?
No, I hate it.
No, you don't.
Because I reflexively say whatever you guys tell me to say. Because I'm like an idiot. I'm like the slow kid you guys take advantage of to entertain your friends.
No, we don't.
No.
We're entertaining, the P1. We're doing it for the P1.
Obviously.
A little light in here on a Monday morning.
It's a little light.
See if this girl remembers you.
Oh. She's texting right now.
It's the Bill Michaels Network.
Hey, do you remember me from the Super Bowls?
Super Bowl Phoenix. I remember you.
What did I do at Super Bowl Phoenix?
We said hi, and we talked about Instagram, and then all of a sudden I had all these Instagram notifications. Yeah.
So we got you some followers, right?
Yeah, we did.
What about
sure.
Twitter? Would you like to plug your Twitter handle?
I don't have Twitter.
Oh, you don't?
No.
What's your Instagram handle again?
SeversonEM30.
It's way too much information in that handle. Severson?
Yep. SeverSonEM30.
My goodness, it sounds like a nuclear code launch.
I didn't know it was
ask her if that's
what's
Bill.
Happened. Is that Bill Michaels from the Bill Michaels
Ooh,
Sports Network?
Yeah, that's Bill Michaels.
Oh, my goodness. Could you introduce me?
Aren't you our neighbors now?
What do you mean?
Aren't you right there?
Yeah. Hi.
I didn't realize we were that close to you.
Yeah.
See that guy right there? That guy right there?
It's not true what he's about to say.
He's in a country band.
Are you really?
That is true, yes.
Yeah. He plays a lot of songs that are
rhythmic guitar,
kind of against minorities, to be quite honest with you.
What is that crazy saying that you used to say when they followed me on Instagram? All of a sudden, everyone's like zonk or zoink or
ragonk.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, oh my gosh,
zoink.
We apologize for that. It was one of our midday ticker guys. He misspoke on the air and said ragonk.
I remember that.
That's
and I'm like,
Rolando
what does that
McLean.
Mean? Should I be insulted?
I don't know. You know, his personal slogan is something called vaginal slice born.
No, it's not. That's his creation. I have nothing to do with
we're
that.
We're having
man.
Fun here, aren't we?
Never awkward on your show, right?
No, never awkward. Have you gotten married since the last time we talked to you?
I have not.
Have you ever been married?
No, I haven't.
Are you looking to get married?
Maybe.
Oh, there you go, George.
Yeah. I'm already
George
married
right there.
Now.
Yeah, but that
Gordon,
didn't stop him.
Gordon, he's available.
Yeah. What do you want? You want some action of this big boy here? I put on a few pounds for you.
You're so nice of you. Thank you.
I'm expecting a food shortage. What's that?
Where were you last year?
Where was I?
Yeah.
I was here, right?
Yeah.
We were Super Bowl. We've been to every Super Bowl for like 48 years.
Okay, so we just weren't neighbors last year.
Yeah, that's right. Do you know who Nasty Nestor is?
I don't. Should I?
No, don't bring him up.
Don't bring him up. And we shouldn't bring him up. Well, thank you. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure. All right, how much time we got left?
You got about 3 minutes.
Oh, 3 minutes? Okay.
Hopefully we get to hear some of the Bill Michaels sports machine.
I don't think he talks. I don't think Bill Michaels talks. And don't say sports machine.
Okay? All right, that was George Michaels.
Yeah. Go talk to...
What?
Maybe some of the security guards here.
P for Wings? Or... Should I talk to P for Wings?
No.
Okay. Still there.
Is that J.B. Smoove walking towards you to your left?
I don't know who it is.
Ask who it is.
Right there. Who is that?
Right behind you.
Hey, how you doing? Gordon Keith of the Ticket in Dallas. We're big fans of yours.
No, not me.
Not you?
No.
Oh, we thought you were Charles Haley.
We thought you were Charles Haley, the only guy who's won.
You stop.
Doesn't look anything like Charles Haley. It's ridiculous.
I saw was a bald head.
All right, let me see if I'll talk to these ladies over here. And no doubt they'll cut me off.
Yeah. This is a big room, isn't it? Seems like.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Gordon Keith of the Ticket in Dallas. See that yellow sign right there that says Ticket? That's where we're from. You ever been to Dallas?
Have not.
You have any desire to go to Dallas?
I would love to.
Really? What's the? Do you live here?
Yes, sir.
In Houston?
Yes, sir.
And you've never been to Dallas? It's not that far away.
No, it's not, but I've never been there. Never.
Oh, how old are you?
26.
Okay, well, you're still young. What's the farthest place you've been?
Jamaica.
Jamaica? Did you smoke out there?
No.
You're smiling. That means you have enjoyed the ganja in Jamaica. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a good time.
Yeah, there you go. I figured as much. What are you married with children?
No, sir. Single.
Really? Have you ever been married?
No.
Interested in getting married?
Later.
Like when? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? When do you want to do this?
Like 5 years.
Oh, 5 years. All right. What about your friend here? What's your story? Have you ever been married?
Twice.
Way to go, Gordon.
Oh, gosh. What happened to the first one?
Oh, he was like, I don't want to say it, but he couldn't have one woman in his life.
Nice, Gordon.
Couldn't have, so he cheated on you.
Exactly.
And how did you find out about it?
He didn't come home.
Ooh.
And I found out. He stayed gone overnight, and when he did, he had his wedding band off, so they let me know he was cheating.
Oh.
He wasn't wearing his wedding band when he came home?
No, he wasn't.
So did he just come home, or did you follow him, or what?
He came home, and he left out yet again.
She volunteered this.
And eventually I found out the woman he was cheating with.
And who was she?
An ex of his.
Ooh, an ex of his. Well, at least you didn't have any kids with him.
No, thank God.
Good, good. And the second guy that you married, he's a good guy, right?
Well, turns out we're separated now, too.
Nice, Gordon.
But he's a good guy. I wouldn't take it from him. He is a good guy, but, you know, marriages have the up and down, so, you know.
Right. So why did you guys separate?
Let's just say that he couldn't get right in the marriage. He wanted to do what he wanted to do and not be the man to take care of the family, so, yeah.
An employment issue?
Yes.
Okay. But at least you didn't have any kids with him.
No, I have two beautiful girls with him.
Whoops. Oh.
Well... We wish you well.
Thank you.
Gosh.
How long have you been doing security type
making
work?
Everyone
this is
feel
my
icky.
First time, and I'm loving it.
Oh, good.
Hey, tell her if she needs anything, we're right over here.
Well, if you need anything, we're right there by that yellow sign.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be here all week.
And, hey, there's an available talent pool of eligible men over there.
All righty.
All right. Thank you so much. Hey, thank you. What's your name again?
Treva.
Treva?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
T-R-I-V-A.
And who's the other one?
And what's your friend's name? You don't know.
What is it?
Julie. Treva and Julie. Okay. Do you have an Instagram handle or on Twitter?
I'm on Instagram.
What's your Instagram handle if you want to promote it?
Treva Handy.
Treva Handy?
Yes, that's my name.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Thank you, Treva.
And tell her that you love her.
And tell her that you love her. I love you.
Let's get her through these tough times.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, did you step in a bear trap?
How does she volunteer all
the time? Why do people answer the questions?
You know what? You should have been a psychiatrist. Because
it's one of my weird superpowers.
You can get people to say anything.
Well, because I have a trusting, non-judgmental personality.
You're holding a microphone.
I know. That's
seems
the
like
weird
that would
part. The
cancel
microphone.
It out.
All right, Gordo, I'll send it back to you guys now on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM. The ticket. Oh, Pat's showing you a clock. That means.
And you know what? The best thing about that segment, the wireless never shorted out.
It works. Not even once.
It worked sounded all time. Great.
Thank you to the Catman.
Yes.
I'll now go get pencils anytime he asks.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk Super Bowl pencils with David Moore.